Hey, everybody. Aaron here. Before we get to the show, I would like to ask for a huge favor. Weird has made the list of podcasts on podcastawards.com, but we need nominations. So if you will go to podcastawards.com and register, it only takes a few seconds. You have to put your name and your email address, and then nominate Weird in two categories. We're listed under the Adam Curry category, which is the very first one you'll see. And we're also listed under comedy. If you will go and nominate us and then leave us a message on weirdnewspodcast.com, you can either leave us a voice message or you could just comment on the latest episode. Let us know that you have nominated us. We're going to put all the names of everybody that nominates us into a hat, and we're going to give away a Weird prize package, which consists of a t-shirt and a couple of stickers and anything else we can find to throw in there. Thanks very much. Again, it is podcastawards.com.
Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Hello, hello. Hey, this is Weird.
No, that's Craig.
No, I said this is Weird, and I was pointing at you.
Oh, no, that's Weird.
No, never mind.
Anyway.
Hey, welcome to Weird. I don't know what that was all about.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Craig.
And we're coming to you.
Lee Berry. I said it first.
Episode 93, but you know what, Craig? You know what's really funny? This is episode 101, actually.
You keep selling this weird.
Yeah, like, we hit 100, and we're at 101. This will be 101. Because
it's not officially 101.
Well, it really is. I mean, if you look at iTunes, there's 101. There'll be 101 episodes available, although it's episode 93, because we've had
eight. You're like that company that when you go to your company, they say, well, you make this amount a year, but when we add all this other stuff we give you, you actually make this amount.
Exactly.
You're exactly like this. Like, say, no, I get this much.
The bottom line is, if you look on iTunes, we've got 101 episodes available.
And if you look on iTunes and count the numbers next to each one of them,
there's 93. But there's still 101 there. Anyway.
Why are you so excited about that number? You can't wait to get to 100.
I'm so excited. No, we're already past 100, but I thank you.
We landed on the moon, too.
What else is exciting is that spiders will eat your face. Did you know that?
I don't let spiders near my face.
Spiders will eat your face. That's a documentary that I really enjoyed, and I've watched it twice now.
You've watched it twice, really?
I really have, yeah. And it's available on Amazon Prime. That's where I watched it. But you can also get it on Instant Watch, or you can order it straight from Amazon.com. But it's a documentary about the history of pet tarantulas in America. And it's a movie, like I said, available on Amazon.
They talked to experts about it.
Yeah.
Got the long-haired ammunition. They got the long-haired dude in the spider shop.
It'll change the way you think about tarantulas. And I say, if you...
No, it doesn't me. I think they're creepy still.
Well, I don't. Not so much anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm going to buy one.
No, you're not.
And I also want to mention Front D.
You're going to wrench him?
You remember the guy that used to work here named Front D?
Yeah, you're going to wrench him?
Yeah, I am.
Front D.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's not here anymore.
He left the front desk when we did some downsizing.
Yeah, he left. We had to cut him loose, so to speak.
Well, you know, he got a little sassy.
Front D, he got above his raisin, we'll say. And
above his what?
Raisin.
Raisin?
Raisin brand.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's something new.
Anyway, if he gave us a huge shout out.
What does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
He got above his raisin? You never heard that?
I've never heard that.
That's when you act above your level. That's
you better explain that to our listeners in Hong Kong, because I don't think they know what that means.
You got above your raisin, means you act above your level. Okay.
I don't think that's...
They got it.
Okay.
But anyway, Front D
I didn't know you spoke that.
Front D is now Carman 11. Not Carmen. Carman.
No, Carman. Carman.
Carman 11 on YouTube. And he gave us a big shout out.
He really did. And we didn't pay him or anything.
No, we didn't. And he's the one that brought us cookie fries.
Cookie fries.
There's a flashback for you.
Yeah.
All right.
He brought us some cookie fries that day. We talked about, cookie fries. He hadn't said that in a while.
He had the frosting for ketchup, you know, for the fries.
Yeah, he did it all up. But anyway, him and his three listeners, they all know about us now.
He's got four, I know.
He's got four listeners.
Because I'm
now.
One.
Okay.
And then three are actually in the video with him.
Oh, that's true. So that's four people. You know what? We say the same thing about ourselves.
Hey, have you looked at our new website lately? Or not our new website, but our updated.
Why are you asking me? It's our website. Of course I've looked at it.
Yeah. I'm sure you go there often. It's so good because now we've got links to every story we talk about listed. So if somebody wants to check our facts or whatever.
Yeah, somebody better.
Click that link. There's also buttons where you can leave us a voicemail.
I like pushing buttons.
And you can follow us on all our social and see where we're available and everything. Anyway, let's get to it.
I think you should get the top story.
You want me to take?
Yeah, you'll know why in a minute.
the top story. The headline is elderly flight passenger throws coins into engine for luck, delays takeoff for hours. It's a flight from Shanghai to Guangzhou.
Guangzhou. You made that up.
No, it's Guangzhou. A flight from Shanghai to Guangzhou was delayed after an elderly woman passenger was suspected of throwing coins into the plane's engine to ensure good luck, mainland media reported. China Southern Airlines Flight 380 was held up at the Shanghai Pudong International Airport after an elderly woman threw coins into the engine. And so I heard she was like a gypsy, and she had like put some hoodoo on these coins and threw them in the engine.
Really?
Yes,
I heard that.
Passengers boarding the flight reportedly saw the elderly woman throwing coins at the engine for blessings from the middle of the boarding staircase.
Here, I think I'll throw foreign objects into the critical piece of the airplane.
Ground staff said the woman, who appeared to be about 80 and had a limited mobility, she had one.
But had a good pitching arm.
Yes, was accompanied by her husband, daughter, and son-in-law. After maintenance crew inspected aircraft, they found 9 coins in one engine. They said, here, you can keep the change. The captain was quoted as saying the metal, if sucked up by the engine, could have caused serious damage, including failure.
What is wrong with this person?
Oh man, she didn't know what she was doing. The flight was later given the green light and took off at 5:52 p.m., more than 5 hours late. It was scheduled to
arrive. The irony that she was throwing these in the engine for good luck.
Yes.
That's going to create anything but good luck.
No, it's not. She's like, she's paying off the engine gods or something. China Southern Airlines told reporters that passengers were reminded to comply with civil aviation laws and regulations. Yeah, please do that, which prohibit behavior that could jeopardize the safety of the flight.
So, in Florida, we're going to go back down here again. I feel like we were there so much last episode.
We just got back from Florida.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And again, it's with McDonald's.
Yes.
I'm going to make a note to myself, mental note. I'm not going to any McDonald's while I'm in Florida.
No, stay away from
unless
Ronald.
I'm going in to trash the place.
You don't want to go to the Golden Arches, you know, down way down south.
No. McDonald's employee beating up over broken ice cream machine, but they're always broken.
I know. I wouldn't beat anybody up over it. I just go to Dairy Queen. They're never broken there.
And this better ice cream.
Yes.
The three. Okay, here we go. Let's go start. Ahead. Ready? Daytona Beach, Florida.
You brought it down.
I went. I don't know what that
I'll
was.
Take it out.
No, it's cool. I like that. All right. Three customers. Our story begins in Daytona Beach, Florida, with three customers who were upset that McDonald's ice cream machine was down for maintenance, charged behind the counter, and attacked an employee.
So it wasn't even broken. They were just, you know, maintaining
it. Was down for maintenance. They're cleaning it.
Yeah.
They're getting the Listeria out of it.
I used to have to do that when I worked at Burger King.
Like you ever worked. An employee told deputies that three females, including two juveniles, went through the drive-thru of McDonald's on West International Speedway around 8 p.m. Sunday and tried to order ice cream, according to the incident report. The employees told the customers that the ice cream machine was down for maintenance, so she was unable to sell them.
Sorry.
Sell it to them, rather.
We don't have any ice cream at the moment. We're working on the machine.
Yeah, we're doing our job keeping the Listeria out of it.
Yeah, you want safe ice cream, don't you? Come back tomorrow.
You should go down to the gas station and get you some cheese. Deputies said the customers then went into the restaurant and saw another customer with ice cream. Never mind, they probably got it from Wendy's.
Yeah.
So they began arguing with the employee. The employee told deputies that one of the juveniles then threatened to go behind the counter and hit her before the woman went behind the counter and charged the employee, hitting her and pulling her hair, according to the report.
Good night.
Deputies, all of her ice cream.
These are millennials. They want to have it when they want. You know, I want it. Got to have it now. Look, they've got ice cream.
Entitlement.
They've got it. I get it.
I get a participation award. I show up, I get an ice cream cone. And it's probably one of the free ones they wanted.
And I shouldn't say those millennials. I work with a couple of people that are millennials, and they're fantastic, hardworking,
right,
level-headed
people. But they even know the ones you're talking about.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they know who you're talking about. A manager at the restaurant said she witnessed the incident and called 911 for help. The employee said she believes the women could have been related to another employee at the restaurant, but did not provide further information to authorities, according to the report. Deputies said the females left the area in a red sedan, but they're still waiting for McDonald's to hand over the surveillance video so they can get a better description. McDonald's released a statement about the incident.
You got to read this like Ronald.
I was going to
read it like the purple guy.
I don't know what he sounded like.
What was his name?
Grimace.
Grimace. Yeah, read it like Grimace.
I don't know what Grimace sounded like. The safety of our customers and employees is one of our top priorities. As this is an ongoing investigation, all inquiries are being directed to the Daytona Beach Police Department.
Well, just for good journalism purposes, I have the 911 call that the manager placed right here.
What are they saying?
911, where is your emergency?
Hi.
That was great.
I was wondering if I could have an officer down here to report an incident.
What's going on?
Oh, there was just a fight.
Still fighting?
No, they're not fighting anymore, but it was between one of my employees.
She doesn't have much urgency in her voice.
It was at 2994 Speedway.
Okay, how many people were fighting?
Is this dispatcher asking a few too many questions?
Okay, was it physical, verbal?
Physical.
Never mind, officer. Jennifer's head's already bled out. She's dead now.
Is that them?
No, that's not them. That's
stop
my
this.
Employee.
Too much.
She goes on for another 2 minutes, so we're going to tone that down.
Is your employee injured?
They should have just called Mayor McCheese, man.
He couldn't get his head through the door. We talked about this.
Everything. All right. As if enough Florida McDonald's stories weren't enough. That didn't make any sense at all.
What? What does that mean?
As if we didn't have enough Florida hamburger
there
stories
you go.
Already. Customer shoots McDonald's manager over frappe order. The manager of a McDonald's restaurant in
Altamont. What's wrong with people?
They're crazy. In Altamont Springs was shot Wednesday night after a dispute with a customer over a frappe he ordered, according to the Altamont police. Freddie Alexander Hormazabel, age 39, was upset about his coffee he'd ordered through the drive-thru, and he demanded a refund from the manager.
Refund.
He actually tried to go inside and confronted the manager about the incident. The manager refunded him the money and told him that he needed to leave. It's like in Oh Brother Where Art Thou, stay out of the McDonald's. All witnesses were saying that he was being loud and irate and that there were family members that had come in with him to try to calm him down. What is wrong with people, Craig? It's a coffee. You got your refund.
Leave.
Hightail it.
Just go.
Find a Starbucks.
Go get a Folgers.
Something.
Just leave.
The victim was attempting to escort Hormazabel off the premises when police said Hormazabel shot him in the neck.
Give me a break.
Hormazabel drove off, but later turned himself in at the county sheriff's office after authorities called him on his cell phone and urged him to surrender.
I'm going to find out where this is. Keep talking. I'm going to find out where this place is exactly.
We were able to use the assistance of the family and the voice of reason with the family so he could turn himself in. Customers of the restaurant were shocked when they heard what had happened. It's a little scary, unnerving that there are people that are furious over something like that. It's crazy, customer James McCann said. I would never expect anything like that to happen. That's insane. It's pretty much what you and I just said.
This is right around Orlando.
McDonald's operations manager Holly Barthamay released a statement about the shooting Thursday afternoon. We are shocked and saddened by this incident and send our heartfelt thoughts to our employee and his loved ones as he recovers at home. The safety of our customers and our crew members is one of our top priorities. As this is an ongoing investigation, all inquiries are being directed to the Altamont Springs Police Department.
So this guy was this is over by Disney World. I just looked on the map because I didn't know where.
Oh, really?
This guy's fed up with paying like $12 for cheeseburgers. He comes in there to get a coffee and he wants it to be right and just finally snaps like Michael Douglas in what was the Michael
Falling Down?
Falling Down.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
That's a fantastic movie. Oh boy.
This is horrible.
Let's go down under. It is horrible, but it's funny too in a way. I wonder if Drop D.
Okay, you want to get to the list of people and then get back with me?
Yeah, I wonder if Front D, Drop D.
How long is this going to go on? I can't talk over this.
Right there.
Okay, good.
That's good enough.
Lee. We just ramble over that song until it goes away.
I wonder if Lee or Adam had anything to do with it.
Okay, so they're poachers now. That's what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying at all.
The story
speaking of Lee and Adam, have you checked out the Ace Podcast page lately?
No.
Oh, man, it looks good. They've done a lot of work to it. But anyway, get back to...
Would that be okay with you?
Yeah, go ahead with the story, would you?
Kangaroo found shot dead.
Oh.
Now you want to apologize to them?
Terrible. Sorry, Lee. Sorry, Adam. Sorry, Front D. Drop D.
How many names are you going to call them before you get to the right person? Anyway, the kangaroo was found shot dead. Posed in a chair by Melbourne roadside.
Yeah, he was posed. Have you seen the picture?
No.
You didn't see the picture?
No. In fact, I just got the story handed to me, so how would I see the picture?
I should have put the picture.
How would I see the picture? A $5,000 reward has been offered to find the callous killers of a dead kangaroo found wearing a leopard print frock, holding a bottle of ouzo, and Australia guys have to tell me, is that called ouzo?
Yeah.
I don't know. And tied to a chair by a roadside in Mernda.
And there was a drop, a boombox next to him is playing Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi. Oi. The kangaroo was found posed in the chair in Plenty Road, plenty of dead
kangaroos.
That's
a huge road.
It's a lot of it. Plenty, yeah. Plenty there. In Melbourne, northeast, last month. Why is everything got to have exact coordinates? It'll be like...
In case we want to go there.
Queensland. Just to the left. Everything is northeast.
They want to give you...
Middle, right, southwest.
You want to visit where the kangaroo was posed.
I guess so. He'll be in Melbourne, northeast. Down a little.
By the tree.
Just down by the... just past the tractor. The Department of Environment, Land, Water, and Planning revealed the kangaroo was brutally shot at least three times. So he got up again, they shot him, they got up again, they shot him.
That's terrible.
With a small caliber firearm. The Delbup, the D-E-L-W-P, released a photo yesterday calling for information.
That's down under police.
This is appalling and immoral behavior. The kangaroo had been shot at least three times prior to it being arranged in the chair. DELPPLNY senior investigator Mike Svern said it would have taken some time to stage the kangaroo in that position on the side of the road. We have said that someone would have seen something given the public area and traffic flow of this main road. Crikey. It's understood the shocking scene was reported to authorities on May 17th when a woman spotted the kangaroo on her way to work. Investigators suspect the kangaroo was killed at a different location before it was brought to the roadside. Items including discarded masking tape will be forensically tested.
You know, they take this serious down under.
Talk about bad things that aren't supposed to be funny but are funny. There's a picture on the web. You can look it up. It's somebody took a this is old, by the way, but somebody took it was a raccoon or something on the side of the road that had been hit by a car, and yeah. Somebody had tied a balloon to it that said you get well soon.
I know it's a big thing in Texas when armadillos are dead that they'll put beer bottles, you know, in their hands and things like that. All right, next story headline is woman gives birth on flight, baby gets free tickets for life. How about that? Just for being born on a flight.
Just for coming out of the womb right there in the middle of an airline.
A newborn baby was awarded a lifetime of free flights on a U.S. Airlines after his mother gave birth while traveling from Fort Lauderdale to Dallas. Christine Pinton from Arizona.
They may wish they never did this if the kid spends his life going everywhere.
He's going to have a job where he travels every other day.
Or the catch is that they only give him one way tickets.
Or one a year. Lifetime supply, yeah. One a year. Christine Pinton from Arizona, who was 36 weeks pregnant, went into labor on June 25th, shortly after the Spirit Airlines flight took off. But luckily, there was a pediatrician and a nurse on board who rushed to help.
How convenient.
Yeah, this doesn't sound staged at all. I'm just joking. It really doesn't. Everything started happening very quickly. I didn't think I was having the baby because it was too soon, but after a few minutes, I knew I needed medical attention, Pinton told the New Orleans Advocate.
When I realized I needed a second chair.
When that water broke. Soon after that, it was clear I was having my baby, and I was in a pure panic. Wouldn't you be? Can you imagine being on an
airplane? I would be if I was giving birth to a baby. I would be in a pure panic.
Land at a hospital. I see what you did there, Craig. The dramatic delivery on the flight was recorded, but I don't want to see that. Co-passenger Shelley Hedgecock Starks, who shot the video, took to Facebook to share her experience. Gross.
You see that? The dramatic delivery on the flight was recorded by a co-passenger and beheaded the mother.
What it said.
It said behest of the mother. Oh, okay.
The video has now gone viral. We just experienced the birth of a baby in the seat in front of us on our flight and had to do an emergency landing in New Orleans. Starks wrote, in a sweet gesture, the airline has gifted the baby free flights during his birthday month for the rest of his life. Well, that's cool.
So every single June, this kid can go like everywhere.
Yeah. A baby being born during a flight is very rare, the spokesman of the airline said in a press conference on Tuesday morning, according to the New Orleans Advocate. But our flight attendants are trained to handle medical emergencies in flight, and they have access to doctors on the ground via in-flight communications. In this case, we were fortunate also to have a pediatrician on board who brought even more care and comfort to the situation.
Well, it's a great gesture, but it's only going to go on as long as that airline's owned by the same people.
You think? I bet it'd be a grandfathered in to new ownership.
I guess it just depends.
Hey, you were just talking about a dead raccoon.
That is weird.
And we didn't even, this story was like two pages below.
Darn it.
That is so strange.
Darn it.
Argument over dead raccoon led to a rural Mason County shooting.
Oh, man.
That really tells you all you need to know about the story.
Yeah, there's a video available for this, too, and it's bizarre.
Officials say an altercation over a dead raccoon. How does that even happen?
Yeah.
Led to Sunday shooting in rural Mason County. Oh, they were fighting over who got to take it home and eat it.
Kind of.
And they are still looking for a person of interest in the shooting. A person interested in shooting. Lieutenant Travis Adams with Mason County Sheriff's Office said Tuesday the strange incident started as a man was walking along Highway 3 north of Allen?
Yep.
Allen?
I think it's Allen.
They don't know how to spell there. Dragging a dead raccoon behind him with a rope.
It was like,
oh my gosh.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, the rope was actually tied around his waist, and about 6 feet behind him, he was dragging a dead raccoon. It was the strangest, bizarre thing I've seen in a long time.
I want that framed on my wall. The man had earlier found the raccoon, which had been hit by a car, and wanted to use it as bait for some type of crab pot. Crabs do drugs? How do they? I guess they're little pinchers. They hold.
Yeah, and it's underwater, so they have to smoke seaweed.
You're on point today, aren't you? Your game is heavy today.
Some would say.
He didn't want to smell its pungent stench, so he was dragging it about 15 feet behind him.
That's disgusting.
Some people driving in a white SUV saw the man and thought he was dragging a dead dog behind him. This upset them, so they don't care if it's a dead raccoon.
One animal's better
it's
than the next.
Crazy dog, a dog lover. And I love dogs, but come
Me
on,
too.
People. Why pick and choose?
Exactly. Animals are animals.
This upsets them, so they pulled over. This upset them, so they pulled over and angrily confronted the man. At about the same time, one or more people in a black pickup truck also drove by and had the same false impression that the man was dragging a dead dog. They joined in the altercation, then one of them pulled a gun and opened fire at the man with the dead raccoon. Hope they didn't kill the raccoon again.
No.
The man was struck twice in the leg, all for just dragging a raccoon.
He couldn't put up with the smell, so he drug it behind
him. This guy's odds were better in a McDonald's. The occupants of the white SUV and the black pickup left the scene. The truck struck the man who had been shot as it sped away. Deputies later tracked down the people in the white SUV. And
they shot him twice and then ran him over.
They ran him over. His nickname's Lucky. Deputies later tracked down the people in the white SUV, and they are cooperating with the investigation. Well, they should. They were part of it. Detectives are still looking for the person suspected of opening fire. He was in an older black Ford F-150 pickup truck. Very racist.
Yeah.
A white dog, continuing with the racism.
My goodness.
You know, keep it classy, Mason County. Detectives are still looking for him. A white dog was believed to be inside that truck. Adams said he has never seen or heard of an incident like this one before in all of his career as a law enforcement. He's been on the job for 3 weeks. I've been doing this for 21 plus years, and I've never quite heard the raccoon being dragged down the road story before.
That is a weird
story.
That's
because it was just created. So that's a new one for all of us, Adam said. The victim who was shot is expected to recover. No word on the raccoon.
This poor guy was just dragging some bait for his crab pot and got shot twice and run over.
Crab pot.
And he had to tie that stinky thing up and to drag it, too.
I mean, he's a crab pot dealer. If he doesn't deliver, who's going to deliver to the crabs?
Headline is, car horns should be replaced by duck quacks, science says. And what caught my eye about this headline is my wife, Lori, used to drive a Yaris, a Toyota Yaris. Mm-hmm. And
a Searay, if you say it backwards.
And the horn on that thing sounded like,
excuse me.
And so she couldn't get mad and honk her horn at somebody because it's just funny.
The worst horn.
It's like like a clown nose. You know, But here's the story. If you can't stand the harsh, stressful sound of a blaring car horn, you're not alone. That does get on my nerves.
I was thinking about this yesterday. People aggravate me. Okay, let me, public service.
Go ahead.
We need a theme for public service announcement, too.
Darn it.
And you got to quit hitting that button. So when you're behind somebody and they don't see the light immediately.
Yeah.
Don't lay on the horn.
No.
Little,
give them a second or two.
And then give them a little tap on the horn. Little, hey.
Now, if you have to get out and tap on their window, that's a different story.
But don't. I've had someone do that to us not too long ago when E was driving and he didn't go fast enough for the people. And they're like, just laying on the horn, which makes me want to get out and bash your car.
Yeah.
Just give a little tootly-toot.
Yeah.
Just a little friendly little, hey, buddy, need to get going
Let's
now.
Let's go. And then that was of course, they'll flip you off.
Yeah, that was the end of the PSA,
okay.
by the way.
Cities could be about to get a lot quieter after a team of researchers came up with a far more pleasant alternative to the horns. After testing a range of different sounds, the team from Sungsil University in Seoul, South Korea, found that it's one resembling a duck's quack that would do the job perfectly.
Quack, quack.
Plus, it's much more pedestrian-friendly.
Does it go...
then a loud, angry horn. The scientists remodeled the classic Klaxon Auga car horn introduced back in 1908 and created a noise sounding like a synthesized duck that can get people's attention in a less stressful way. I like this idea. I think it's pretty cool.
But it also... Okay. Here's the deal.
Okay.
Horns are also meant to be startling and to get your attention.
Yeah, if I'm about to crash
into... If you hear me go... I'm not going to care about that, but I need to hear something that startles me into going. That's why horns on bigger, older cars were great.
Yeah.
These little meep meep.
Yeah.
These little things are stupid because
sounds like Roadrunner.
Yeah, it doesn't even do anything for you.
Right. It doesn't warn you very well. Okay, Craig, this next paragraph has some Hong Kong language in it. So if you're going to
No, it's got South Korean language.
South Korean language. So if would you be as kind to
sure.
interpret as I sure. read? Lead researcher Professor Meng Jinbei said, "In our study, we use existing historic klaxon sound source called Ooga Ooga."
In our study, we use the existing historic klaxon sound source that goes Ooga Ooga.
But made some modifications after consulting its volume and its rhythm with duration time by adding a powder controller.
But we made some modifications concerning its volume and rhythm with duration time by adding power controller.
I knew klaxon sound can immediately alert pedestrians of danger. Oh, you be careful, while also reducing unpleasantness. Oh, that hurt my ears and stress. Oh, I need a nap of the sound.
Our new klaxon sound can immediately alert the pedestrian of a danger while also reducing the unpleasantness and stress of the sound.
Crucially, the quacking horn still does its job of alerting people to danger, but does so without being irritating.
Like you?
Yeah. A group of 100 test listeners evaluated different sounds for qualities, including stress and loudness, with the duck noise coming out on top. Professor Bay said the klaxon sound can make the loud noise with a low power, but its volume can be easily controlled.
Quack, quack.
He added, "In this study, when driver presses a klaxon, a sound of about 110 decibels is no more, is not transmitted directly to the pedestrian."
In this study, when a driver presses a klaxon, a loud sound of 110 decibel or more is not transmitted directly to a pedestrian.
A less startling car horn could also contribute to road safety by being less distractive to drivers, and said the researchers.
Man drives into pond while following GPS directions. I always wondered about people that do that.
I hope it was at night.
If it says go straight and you just go into the water, it's like you're thinking maybe you should know that that's not what.
Okay, it told me go straight.
It must be a hidden road.
It's an underground tunnel.
A man, this is in West Yarmouth?
Yeah.
Massachusetts.
Watch Yarmouth.
A man drove into a pond in West Yarmouth early Friday because his GPS told him to continue straight. Police said that Daniel Alley was driving a Jeep Patriot from Hyannis to the passenger's summer home in West Dennis around 1:30 a.m. He told police he was using a Garmin GPS because he wasn't familiar with the area. Okay.
So if he was familiar, he'd be
using
a different
brand. This is a world
brand.
With smartphones, and I'm kind of thinking at this point Garmin GPSs are probably antiquated.
Yeah,
unless you're paying for those map upgrades.
Yeah.
According to Alley, the GPS told him to continue going straight, and that took him into Swan Point. So he did a swan dive.
Good night.
At the end of Lake Road. When officers arrived, they saw the Jeep about 100 feet offshore, almost completely submerged. Both Alley and his passenger were fine. The fire department began working to remove the car from the water.
Why didn't they just call a wrecker? What's the fire department doing there?
I don't know. I mean, I guess...
It's like the opposite of fire. It's underwater.
I don't know. Who do you call? There's not like... There's that one elite team with a submarine that never gets called?
Yeah.
Officers discovered that Alley's license had been revoked. He was cited with operating a motor vehicle with a revoked license and operating a car as a boat.
This next story, Craig, that we got here is very sad. Sad story. But the item that was stolen was interesting to me, so I went ahead and printed it off. Victim beaten with a hammer, robbed of a ukulele in San Francisco.
That's sad.
Yeah, what are you going to do with a ukulele?
No, who plays a ukulele in San Francisco?
A pair of robbers were being sought by police after they beat a man with a hammer Sunday morning in San Francisco and took his prized possession, a ukulele. One of the two robbers, believed to be a 25-year-old man, distracted the 27-year-old victim by striking up a conversation about the ukulele, police said. The second assailant, a man in his 20s, then attacked the victim with a hammer, enabling his accomplice to grab the ukulele. The two thieves, who also took the victim's cell phone and backpack, fled on foot and have not been arrested yet. The victim was taken to a hospital and treated for minor injuries. I'm guessing he didn't have an iPhone because they would have found my iPhone.
Yeah.
Or that he didn't have it set up.
You think
it
was like in Animal House that he was playing the ukulele and they got enough of it and just smashed it against the wall?
I don't think so.
You think that's what triggered it?
I think it was probably a valuable ukulele and these guys.
Is there a valuable ukulele?
Oh, sure.
Outside of maybe like Tiny Tim's personal ukulele?
No, there are. Lori has a ukulele.
Does she play?
She doesn't, but she, you know, sometimes she'll pick it up and strum it and then she'll go.
Darn it.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
She also has a mandolin.
Really?
Yeah, I told her she's supposed to get a woman to lend.
I was going
to
make that joke, but I couldn't think of how to. Yeah.
And I told her that, but she said,
darn it.
Should I just continue?
Go ahead.
Mysterious footprints on. I knew that was Pennsylvania, but it's
like. You know, for somebody that doesn't play instruments, she sure does have a lot of them. She wants a piano. She's trying to get me to buy her a piano right now.
Well, you can tune a piano,
but you can't tune a fish.
Mysterious footprints on Pennsylvania property lead couple to call Godfather of Bigfoot hunters.
I didn't know Bigfoot hunters had a Godfather or a mafia.
I didn't either. But wasn't aware of that. That would explain why they get off scot-free all the time. You never see them anywhere.
Nope.
In and out, crime done, finished.
Nope. And Lori loves a Bigfoot story.
Oh, I do too.
Do you really?
But you know what's funny?
Darn it.
Is they've got these Bigfoot shows.
Oh, they're stupid.
Bigfoot, and they never find it.
No, it should be called Not Finding Bigfoot.
Exactly.
That should be the title.
That's why I don't watch those shows, because I know they're never going to find him.
Well, you can only hear so many knocks on trees. And
yeah.
Y'all hear that?
There's the one guy with a Louisville Slugger somewhere on the crew that's banging on a tree and a boat. And
y'all listen. They're playing Uno because I just heard something.
You smell that stench?
That's
yeah,
an infant.
Because you guys had the taco bar earlier. That's what the stench is. Okay, a couple in Crawford County has called the Godfather of all Bigfoot hunters to investigate their property after finding what they believe to be mysterious footprints. Okay. What was mysterious about them?
Somebody was walking through here barefoot? That's a mystery?
What was mysterious about them? Were they...
Ruh-ro.
I don't know. What were you doing, Shaggy? Keith Morgan and his wife, Robin, live in Cambridge Springs, a rural area of Crawford County, about 15 miles north of Meadville. Last fall, they said they saw an immense creature covered in black hair walk across their farm.
That could have been Uncle Jack, for all we know. I mean, without a shirt on.
Yeah, exactly. Could have been, you know, there's a guy that doesn't live too far from me that I wish he put a shirt on when he mows. I think Bigfoot's mowing his grass. They claim it was more massive than a bear. Also, now they're bear experts.
Did they
get Wigglesworth in there to see what he knew about it?
Wigglesworth.
So they called T.J. Biscardi, whose father, Tom, has spent 50 years searching for the legendary Bigfoot. I'd say it's time to quit. He spent 50 years and can't find him.
Poor
I think
guy.
Maybe you're barking up the wrong tree.
You know, you reach a point where you can't stop.
Yeah.
Because you've done it so long, you've got to continue.
He's like... You know, I've done it 50 years. What am I going to do now? Work at McDonald's?
Exactly. He's still busy. People are still calling him.
Yes, the Biscardis. No, that's his dad. This is the son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so T.J. Biscardi, you know little T.J.
Yeah.
Whose father, Tom, has spent 50 years. So his dad spent 50 years.
Yes.
T.J. hadn't spent 50 years.
Not yet.
Between the two of them, you think it's time to stop. The Biscardis checked Morgan's initial reports and are back in Cambridge Springs this week for more in-depth investigation. Well, we're out there in Amish country in Pennsylvania. Me and the team are responding. We are going to be checking the whole area out. We got a lot of property to look at, TJ said. This is one of the pens where the creature was actually. They had to move the hogs out of there because something was coming in, climbing over the fence, killing the hogs, and taking them all out.
That's Bigfoot or Wooster. Could be Wooster. This is Amish country.
It could be Wooster. Wooster doesn't eat meat, though.
No.
There is an entire team setting up bait and recording with thermal image cameras.
They do have some nice technology, don't they?
The chickens?
No, the team.
The team.
The Bigfoot team.
The team, yeah. I want the reality to be seen as we see it.
I'd like to see that myself.
Yeah, me too. So if we see it in real time as he records it, the whole world will get to see it in real time. So it's not just stories. It's called reality, Tom said. Tom, reality is your dad's been doing it for 50 years and hadn't caught anything.
Yeah, you need to experience some more reality, Tom.
So what do you use to bait Bigfoot? Biscardi's team hangs peanut butter and sardines from trees.
Delicious.
Because all the science and what we know about Bigfoot says...
All the ones we've had in captivity.
Yeah, all the science tells us that they love sardines smeared in peanut butter.
Yum. Who doesn't?
I mean, when you think about it, you remember the last party we went to?
The sardine peanut butter party?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a blast.
That was good. Anyway, they hang it from the trees at a height that's too high for humans, but would be well within reach of the massive creature we made up.
Sure.
Biscardi's crew also made careful note of the surroundings, taking pictures of sticks in unlikely positions.
Ooh, like Tommy Shaw and Dynasty.
Different
Young?
Sticks.
Yeah.
Taking pictures of sticks in unlikely positions, you know, on trees, on the ground, and small trees twisted in ways they claim couldn't be caused by weather. You know, like the same way a tornado puts a piece of straw through a piece of wood.
Yes.
You know, things that couldn't possibly happen on their own.
Weather doesn't do that. Bigfoot does.
We will have to wait to hear the results of the investigation. Meanwhile, the Biscardis are offering, wait a minute, we've made fun of this guy, $1 million bounty for information leading to Bigfoot's capture or the delivery of Bigfoot. So this guy's been doing it for 50 years. He's got $1 million to throw out there.
Hey, he's a believer, no doubt about it. And you know what? We've got another Bigfoot story that's going to surprise you coming up either this episode or next. It's either later on in this episode or next episode. You're going to be set aback.
Set aback.
Yeah, you're going to be set aback.
I'm actually going to see the Bigfoot?
I don't think so. But you'll be surprised at who believes.
Okay.
I'll tell you that.
Thanks for the tease.
Man jailed after drywall powder mistaken for cocaine.
Oh, was it the same cop that thought donuts were...
Yes, same one. A Florida man.
Now I'm thinking about donuts.
But listen to this. This guy spent 90 days in jail because police officers who stopped him for driving without headlights said white powder found in his car was cocaine. But Carlos
Couldn't
Cash...
Couldn't you taste it?
I don't know. I don't know how they test that stuff.
No, you... Drywall dust is going to taste like drywall dust.
I don't know what that tastes like.
Well, I'm saying, but I would presume that cocaine is going to have a kick to it.
Well, we watch cops. They have these little test tubes they can put stuff in and shake it up and change
the
colors.
They just carry the test tube.
90 days. 3 months this guy sat behind bars.
Yeah, well, I hope that guy's making some money off of Oviedo, Florida.
Carlos Cash walked out of jail last week after lab results determined the powder in the handyman's car was actually drywall. Cash tells WFTV he repeatedly told officers in Oviedo that the substance was drywall, but after running a check, they found that he was on probation for marijuana
Wait
and cocaine
a minute.
Charges.
They have got field tests for this stuff.
They do. I know. I don't understand this story at all.
Not in Florida.
Cash says a canine alerted on his vehicle and that another officer's field test proved positive for cocaine.
Convenient.
How'd that happen?
This is corrupt. There's no way.
Are you calling police corruption?
Yeah, I'm not saying all police are corrupt.
No,
I'm saying these guys.
Yeah, sounds like it. Court records show that he was denied bond because he was accused of violating probation for having drywall on his for working
they
hard. Just,
they wanted this guy because he's probation. They wanted this guy off the streets.
Something like that. Yeah.
I get knocked down.
But I get up again.
And I don't know the next words of the song, but I get knocked down.
I get up again. Ain't never going to keep me down.
When I saw that headline the first time, I thought it was going to be about that band or something. Because it said, I get knocked down.
Well, it kind of is. It's about that song because the man.
I get it. But I thought it was the guy from the band that got knocked down.
Oh, no. That'd be funny.
That would be irony.
You know, you talk about a one-hit wonder. Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba.
And I
just
mean,
like to say Chumbawamba.
It's fun. It's fun. I liked him in Star Wars. I thought he was great.
Chumbawamba, Chumbawamba. Hey, I get knocked down, man. Gets hit by a bus. He gets back up again and heads to the pub.
That's
have you
right.
seen this video?
Ain't nothing going to keep him down.
Have you seen this video?
I have, yes.
Video's amazing. A man was sent flying by an out-of-control bus, and we're talking out of control. We're
going
talking
crazy.
This thing had to be hitting him at 45 miles an
this
hour.
This is the same bus that was in the movie Speed. That's how out of control
it
was.
That looked like it was. Anyway, okay, let's try this again because this is so exciting. I can't wait to get to it.
Go ahead.
A man was sent flying by an out-of-control bus but got back up immediately and walked into a pub like nothing happened. Simon Smith,
down.
Simon Smith, 53, was knocked to the ground by the careering vehicle.
That's what it says. Careering.
Should it be careening?
It should be careening.
It's a vehicle that's really... It's
looking for a good
job. It's looking for a good gig. Well, it's not going to get a good gig.
No, because it can't control itself.
It's out of control.
Yeah.
We distract ourselves from the stories.
No, you distract me and I distract you.
Anyway, he's knocked to the ground by the careening vehicle on Gun Street in Reading. Or is it Reading? I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
But CCTV footage then shows him get to his feet moments later and walk to the Purple Turtle bar. He sustained only scratches and bruises despite being thrown about 20 feet.
Good night, man.
The bus. reading or reading buses told the BBC, I'm going to say reading buses.
Go ahead.
Buses that can read. I like buses that can read.
And look for jobs.
And look for jobs. Told the BBC it was investigating the awful incident which took place on Saturday morning.
Saturday morning? He's going to the pub on Saturday morning? Maybe he didn't feel being hit.
I don't know. It kind of dropped him off at the pub.
Yeah. How'd you get here? The bus.
The bus. I just landed. It's not known what caused the crash, but Thames Valley Police said no arrest had been made. And an ambulance was called to the scene, and the road was closed for about 2 hours. Now, the video is amazing. He doesn't get bumped. He gets straight out.
And he gets knocked.
His head hits the window and stuff.
Yes. I think,
knocks him down, and he kind of just goes, huh? And he just gets up and kind of stumbles a little, but goes right into the bar. And they took him later, said he's going to be fine.
Good night, man.
Good night.
So, yeah. Okay, this is a sad story, Craig, but it was big in the news last week, and we just got around to covering it. But headline is, a Minnesota woman foreshadowed risky YouTube stunt before shooting her boyfriend.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Minnesota, don't
up
you
in
know?
Up in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's right, eh? A fatal
That's
shooting.
That's Canada.
Well, whatever. A fatal shooting that happened here Monday evening, June 26, was captured on video for YouTube, while a tweet posted before the shooting promised the most dangerous video ever.
Now, we should say before we go on, this is sad, but it's also completely stupid.
It really is. Yeah.
And you'll find out why in just one moment.
Details of the shooting were contained in a complaint filed in Norman County District Court Wednesday, June 28th, against the victim's girlfriend, 19-year-old Mona Lisa Perez of Hallstatt.
She never smiles.
She won't anymore. She was charged with second-degree manslaughter after telling authorities on Monday evening that she and her boyfriend, 22-year-old Pedro Ruiz III, were making a YouTube video when she shot him in the chest. When emergency workers arrived on the scene, they attempted life-saving measures, but Ruse, he later was declared dead. The courtroom complaint said that after the shooting...
always complaining in the courtroom.
They said that after the shooting, authorities found a gold Desert Eagle 50-caliber handgun in the grass near the couple's home. 50-caliber? You're going to... Even with a bookshelf between me, I don't want...
They claimed that they had tested on the book and it stopped it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry. Nearly point, several flags should have gone up. First one is aiming a gun at anybody.
For anything.
For
right.
any reason. No, first flag.
Yeah.
You're desperate for attention on YouTube.
Yes.
Or money or whatever. Secondly, aiming a gun when there's a million other things you could do that are stupid that probably you'd walk away at least slightly maimed.
Won't
from.
Be deadly.
Won't be deadly. The fact that it was a 50 cal and the fact that you thought a thick book would stop it at such a close range.
Well, she's like 3 feet away. I mean, that's like point blank.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's tragic, sad, and just, it's mind-boggling.
That's insane.
It's so insane, it's outsane.
It is outsane. Also, according to the complaint, Perez told Norman County Sheriff's Office deputy that Ruiz wanted to make the video of her shooting a book, and he believed that the book would stop the bullet. She said the incident was recorded, and she gave the deputy two cameras. These videos
would
are...
Would you not have shot the book first?
Absolutely.
From the same exact distance?
You know, tape it to a watermelon or something and see what happens.
And shoot it at least 4 or 5 times to make sure every time you shoot that book.
Perez said Ruiz set up one camera on the back of a vehicle and the other on a ladder nearby. She said that she agreed to do the video and to shoot the gun after Ruiz showed her a different book that he had shot that prevented the bullet from going all the way through. She told authorities that she shot Ruiz from about 1 foot away, Craig, with a 50 caliber. This is giving me the willies.
Ooh, give me the willies.
The bullet went into her boyfriend's chest.
Where'd you
of
go?
Course.
Did you step off there for a minute?
I did. I'm sorry. At 5 p.m. Monday, Perez posted a tweet saying, me and Pedro are going to shoot one of the most dangerous videos ever.
We're going to shoot Pedro.
His idea, not mine. An emergency call to the Norman County Sheriff's Office came at 6:30 p.m. I wish they could have. I wish that they wouldn't have done it. I wish they would have done just another prank. The victim's aunt, Claudia Ruiz, told WDAY-TV. Claudia Ruiz said that Perez is pregnant and the couple's 3-year-old daughter witnessed the shooting. Yeah.
So we're so stupid, and no disrespect to the dead guy.
No.
But you're so stupid that you're doing hijinks with guns with your 3-year-old in the room.
Yeah.
So if things go wrong in a number of different ways, she's there. He's there. Whatever.
You know what?
Daughter's there.
You know what we need to do, Craig? We need to outlaw YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, get away from it. Because there's a lot of idiots. Now, there's some funny people on YouTube.
Because YouTube,
here's the
people
kind of,
don't kill people. YouTube kills people.
Yeah. But do you know who Jack Vale is on YouTube? Or Ed Bassmaster?
I know Bassmaster. Yeah.
Those are my two favorites. And Ed Bassmaster plays these characters. And he does stunts. You know, he'll fall down and stuff. And Jack Vale has this thing he calls the pooter. And it makes that fart noise.
Yeah, Leslie Nielsen used to have one.
And he walks around and he'll do that, you know, and Target. Was one
but
of
he's not aiming
ones.
A 50 cal gun.
No! No! Just some imitation gas.
And some of the funniest people on YouTube that make a lot of money are doing stupid things that aren't going to kill them.
Right.
You know, a guy eats a bar of soap. You know what
I mean? Yeah, something like, yeah.
Yeah, it's stupid.
He's burping bubbles, but he's not dead.
Yeah, but his insides are clean.
Right.
let's just move on. This is as depressing as the raccoon and the kangaroo.
Well, what about a bobcat?
Well, I'm getting to it.
Okay, go ahead.
80-year-old New Hampshire woman fights off rabid bobcat.
Oy.
Sunapee, New Hampshire.
80 years old.
80-year-old New Hampshire woman fought off a rabid bobcat with the help of two dogs and her gardening sickle. Elise Dabrowski said she was gardening on Sunday at her Sunapee home when the animal attacked, biting her face, arm, and back. She says her only thoughts at the moment were, why is this stupid cat attacking me? Dabrowski tried to fight off the bobcat with a sickle, but it was ultimately chased off by her dogs. Her adult son heard the commotion and rushed outside with a shotgun and shot his mother.
No, he did
to
not.
To put her out of her misery.
He didn't shoot his mother.
Oh.
He shot the bobcat.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was projecting, wasn't I?
Yes.
Her adult son heard the commotion and rushed outside with a shotgun, which he used to kill the bobcat.
Yes.
The animal carcass tested positive for rabies.
That's bad news right there.
Dabrowski needed over 50 stitches to close her wounds, but says she feels thankful it wasn't worse. So does she get rabies? There's no cure for it, right?
No, there is. It's very painful, though. They have to give you like shots right into the chest.
I've
and
heard
the stomach
and stuff. I've heard. Yeah,
Ozzy Osbourne talks about that.
Well, but he could be making anything up for
true.
A while.
He probably, it's a memory from drug days.
A local.
Now, this fake money from the movie sets has been causing a lot of issues. How's this gotten out of Hollywood, I'd like to know?
It could be anything. I mean, I can print something that looks like money from a distance.
Yeah, but it all says motion picture use only or something like that. No. I guess you could use it at the cinema if you wanted to. Headline is, fake money shows up in Nashville area again.
Again.
A bogus bill was passed at a twice daily store, according to Metro
Police. You think they would have caught it the first time?
The clerk told police that the man tried to buy beer at the store around 2 p.m. Saturday with a fake $20 bill. The clerk noticed immediately that it read for motion picture use only.
Must be from the Nashville set.
You must have been. After being confronted by the clerk, the man police have now identified as Dwayne, of course.
Not Dwayne Boggs.
Dwayne Boggs. D-Wayne. They call him D-Wayne.
D-Wayne.
Became angry and asked to have the money returned. Turned him. That's my movie money. You give me that.
Yeah,
back.
I'm gonna spend that on the movies.
No, sir, D. Wayne. We're keeping this for the police. That's an actual quote.
Mm-hmm.
The clerk refused to, and the suspect left the store. Police captured him a short time later based on the witness's description. Boggs was taken into custody without incident and charged with criminal simulation.
He was simulating being a criminal? Well, that seems like that's not. That means he shouldn't be.
Shouldn't be an issue.
No, not at all.
We got an update.
Darn it.
Bodie McBoatface, submarine, records successful maiden voyage.
It worked.
It did.
It worked.
A yellow submarine dubbed Bodie McBoatface has obtained... Don't.
Live...
unprecedented data from its first voyage exploring one of the deepest and coldest ocean regions on Earth, scientists have said.
A Bodie McBoatface.
The robotic submersible was given the name originally chosen for a new polar research ship by irreverent contestants in a public competition. Embarrassed officials decided to ignore the popular vote and instead named the vessel the RRS Sir David Attenborough in honor of the veteran broadcaster.
That's a
form of protest. Led to a compromise that allowed the name to live on.
It's still a foul.
It is. The submarine plunged to depths as far as 4,000 meters to obtain information about temperature, water flow speeds, and turbulence from Orkney Passage, a region of the Southern Ocean about 500 miles from the Antarctic Peninsula.
Headline is, deputy search for man who's been tying pantyhose to cars. And you know where this comes to us from.
In Florida, I went to search.
Flagler County deputies are asking for help to identify a cross-dressing man they say has been tying women's pantyhose to vehicles in a business parking lot. The sheriff's office has
That's a crime?
The sheriff's office said it received a call about the man who has been seen leaving the pantyhose on vehicles at Home Depot. To be so bold in the middle of the day to do something like this, we want to identify this individual so we can reach out to him and make contact,
Savage.
Commander
Savage.
Steve Brandt said. Brandt said the anonymous complaint filed 2 days ago said that a man was tying pantyhose to the vehicles of hooligans employees. Well, those hooligans, they deserve it.
Yeah, hooligans.
We don't know if this is a local person. We don't know if it's somebody traveling through town and stops in areas and ties pantyhose to cars, Brandt said. It did happen over multiple days, so we think it's probably somebody in this area, I would guess. The report also said that the man followed employees from the Home Depot parking lot where they were to park back at the restaurant's door. This behavior in and amongst itself could be many different things, but we would like to identify this person and talk to them in case this behavior were to escalate to something as like tying tube socks or underwear or something to cars.
Well, the strange way that they're tied to cars, who knows, it could be Bigfoot.
Oh, it could be.
Because it's very odd shapes, the you know, odd
and he places. Likes pantyhose.
Yeah,
because that's why he's knocking on the trees.
Hey.
Yeah.
So, you remember we talked about spiders earlier, right?
Yeah, because they're going to eat your face.
Yeah. Tell me about all that. Now, we're going to eat people's faces off if dressed as spiders.
That's not it at all. And you'll have to watch the documentary.
I did watch the documentary.
Okay, well, then you should understand. Spiders will eat your face. By the way, it's available on Amazon Prime, Instant Watch, and Amazon.com. It's the documentary about the history of pet tarantulas. You know, people have pet tarantulas. You see that.
Yes.
And I always think, those weirdos. But they're not like snake people, because those are weirdos.
Oh, right, right.
But they, pet tarantulas are actually very safe and very good pets, but you will learn...
They got big fangs, though.
You will learn from this documentary that they don't care about you.
They don't care about you.
If you want a pet like a puppy or a hamster that cares about you, then... You don't want a tarantula, but they are safe. So check out the film about tarantulas. And they go into like the history of some of America's hardest moments.
They actually interview and talk to a tarantula.
they do, actually. Yeah. And it's the annexation of Mexico is in this, the Wild West. And we just talked about rabies, and that's tied to tarantulas, too. Anyway, it's rated PG. Check it out on Amazon.com.
You know what time it is?
Yeah, it is.
Time for the Mark Patch.
Yes.
Top 10.
That's a good one, too.
Top 10 celebrities who narrowly escaped death.
Yeah, no,
I'm going to argue that number 10 didn't work.
No, he did. He did narrowly escape the first time.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Number 10.
Yeah.
Elvis Presley.
Uh-huh.
In April 1936, several tornadoes ripped through small towns in Georgia and Mississippi. The twisters continued on for 4 days, also devastating Alabama, Arkansas, and Tennessee. In Tupelo, Mississippi, many of the victims' bodies were found in Gum Pond. They were just stuck there. In this area alone, 216 people lost their lives. The tornado that hit Tupelo was likely an F5. That's the top row of keys on your keyboard. It's the biggest and most destructive of its kind. Baby Elvis Presley, baby.
He's a little bitty baby.
Just 1 year old at the time and living in Tupelo, survived the disaster along with his family.
Number 9 of the top 10 celebrities who narrowly escaped death, John Lydon. You know John Lydon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny Rotten.
Sex Pistols frontman John Lydon, a.k.a. Johnny Rotten, missed a flight from London to New York in 1988 because his wife, Nora, wasn't done packing by the time they had to leave for the airport. This resulted in a big argument between the couple. Eventually, they just caught the next available flight. What they only found out later on was that their original booking was for flight 103. The plane exploded over Lockerbie, Scotland, after a bomb went off in its hold. Everyone aboard lost their lives. When Lydon and his wife realized what their fate could have been, they almost collapsed.
That's scary. Weird story about that Lockerbie bomb.
Yeah.
And I'm forgetting the guy's name. David, the actor.
Hasselhoff.
No. The guy from Bewitched who played Larry Tate. What's his name?
David.
Huh?
David.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
His son died on that Lockerbie crash.
Oh, no.
David White. Told you it was an easy name.
Racist.
David White. His son died on that. So I just thought I would add Craig's random
trivia. You know what that is? That's trivia.
That's trivia.
Yeah.
Number 8.
Yeah.
Fats Domino.
Yeah.
In 2005, at the age of 77, Fats decided to ride out Hurricane Katrina in his home. I remember this. They thought he was gone.
I did too. Yep.
He was found on Blueberry Hill. His family was ill at the time, and the family decided to stay together and wait the storm out. By the time the news vans got to his mansion, the flooding was rampant and someone had spray painted on the wall "Rip Fats," which is rest in peace.
Rip Fats.
I just like the way it said that because it was in big letters. Rip Fats. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Fats. You'll be missed. Only on September 1st did the news break that Fats was rescued from his flooding home and that he and his family were safe. Well, if, with a name like Fats, you think you'd probably just lay down and float off.
I may as well. Number seven, Nate Berkus. You know Nate Berkus, don't you?
Absolutely not.
Nate Berkus is an American interior designer who had regular segments on the Oprah Winfrey Show. He had his own show for two seasons and also wrote several books. Nate is a beloved celebrity who suffered a terrible tragedy that would stay with him for a long time. On December 26th of 2004, Nate and his friend Fernando were at a popular beach resort in Sri Lanka. The infamous tsunami took them by surprise, and before they knew it, they were both clinging to a telephone pole.
Took everybody by surprise.
The two men held on through the worst of it, and Nate thought that they would both make it through, but just then, Fernando was swept away.
Fernando!
It was the last time Nate ever saw
him. That's horrible.
That is horrible.
Number six.
Yeah.
Drew Barrymore.
I like Drew Barrymore.
I do too. In February 2001, Drew Barrymore and her then fiance, Tom Green, still can't figure that out, woke up to their dog Flossie growling, barking, and clawing at their bedroom door. When they went to investigate why the dog was so upset, they found their home engulfed in flames. Both stories of the house, situated in the canyon outside of Beverly Hills, were quickly overrun with fire. Mm. Luckily, the couple and their dog escaped unharmed. Their marriage wasn't so lucky.
No, it did not survive the fire. Number five, Elizabeth Taylor and Kirk Douglas. This one's a tie. You know, the top ten.
Okay.
Mike Todd was a film and theater producer, perhaps better known for being husband number three to Elizabeth Taylor.
I must be to live your whole life as number three.
It didn't last long. He was also the only husband that she didn't divorce, although the reason for that is a very sad one.
She didn't have time to divorce.
In 1958, a year after the wedding, Mike, screenwriter Art Cohen, and the pilot and co-pilot of Mike's private plane, Lucky Liz, undertook a trip to New York. Mike was to accept an award from the New York Friars Club. Elizabeth begged to join him, but Mike refused, wanting his wife to stay home since she had a bad cold. A few hours before they were to take off, Mike tried unsuccessfully to convince his friend Kirk Douglas to join them on the flight, even joking that he wouldn't let the plane crash. How ironic
wow.
is that? Unfortunately, that's exactly what happened. After suffering engine failure, the plane went down in New Mexico, killing all four men. Had Elizabeth Taylor and Kirk Douglas been aboard, they too would have lost their lives. So Elizabeth Taylor begged to go, and he wouldn't let her because she had a cold. Have you ever had to fly with a cold? It's terrible. It's miserable.
Because of the compression or whatever?
Yeah. And then Kirk Douglas, they begged him to go, but he couldn't or didn't. We could have lost both of those.
You know, one that's on this story reminds me that's not on the list, which is kind of surprising, is Waylon Jennings.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he gave up his seat to
Richie Valens.
Richie Valens or the Big Bopper, one of the two.
Well, the movie, it was Richie Valens.
Yeah, which it probably was that. And there was another one. I want to say there was even, I don't want to make up stories. I think there was something with Leonard Skinner. I want to say somebody swapped out a seat or something.
That is true. Okay. Yeah, that is true. That was in the documentary.
Anyway, number four, Michael J. Fox.
Oh, boy.
He was filming a scene for Back to the Future 3 in which his character gets hanged. I know this story.
Yep.
For the first few, because I've been hung.
No, you have not.
No, I got better. For the first few shots of the scene, Michael was standing on a box with a rope around his neck. They were filming only the top half of his body, but Fox couldn't get his reaction to be authentic enough for his own liking, so he decided to try the scene without help of the box. It went fine until his third try, during which a slip of the hand caused the rope to tighten around his neck, cutting off his carotid artery. He was unconscious for a good couple of seconds, hanging from the rope before the director realized something was wrong.
Gosh,
hey guys, I think Michael's dead.
That's scary.
Yeah.
And cut.
And cut
number three,
the rope off his neck.
Number three, Ryan Reynolds. Did you know that Burt Reynolds adopted him? He's not his real son, but I see resemblances in him and Burt Reynolds.
No, for real?
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't know they were related at all.
Yeah, he adopted him. At the age of 17, Ryan decided to go skydiving. Big mistake. Me either. During his plummet to the ground, he pulled the cord, but the parachute wouldn't open. Panicking, he pulled again, but still nothing. He remembered that the reserve chute could save his life, but in his terrified state, he couldn't bring himself to launch it. Convinced it wouldn't work either and that he was inevitably falling to his death, luckily he got himself together and pulled the reserve chute cord. The chute opened, helping Ryan to land safe.
I've heard stories from people talking about how when you pull the, if the rings that go up the line or something, if they get tangled up, you have to do these weird motions to kind of get them like this, like you're riding a bicycle, some kind of motion you have to do to get them untangled.
That's so scary.
I'm thinking, no.
Just don't jump.
You know the last thing Lori would say?
She'd say,
darn it.
And then plummet. Number two, Jet Li. Nate Berkus, you know old man Berkus's boy.
Yeah, we talked about him.
Wasn't the only celebrity caught up in the Indian Ocean tsunami in 2004. Jet Li was vacationing in the Maldives. Mm-hmm.
That's how it's spelled.
The Marley Doodly Doos with his family when the tidal wave hit. Recalling his fear during an interview, he remembered how quickly he had to grab his daughters and pull their nanny along with a rope like you pull a raccoon behind you. All while running away from the giant waves. By the time he'd moved only a couple of steps, the water was up to his waist, but he just kept running. You know, like Dory.
Yeah, just keep on running. Yeah.
Everything was swept away around them, with the water eventually reaching Lee's face. Fortunately, Lee and his family made it back to their hotel, where they put on life jackets while bracing for even bigger waves to hit the island. That's just a scary story all the way around.
That thing was terrible. And number one, the number one top 10 celebrity who narrowly escaped death. You're not going to believe this one. George Clooney.
Darn it.
Lori's favorite actor.
Yep.
During the filming of the 2005 movie Syriana, George Clooney hit his head after falling over during a scene in which he was tied to a chair. Afterward, he experienced terrible headaches, constant pain, and memory loss. Doctors struggled to diagnose exactly what his injuries were.
Head injury?
Clooney couldn't take painkillers either for fear of falling into addiction like many of his family members. You know, I respect that a lot.
Yep.
Only after a year did a neurologist identify the cause of Clooney's insistent pain. He had torn his dura mater.
What is that?
I don't know, but I don't want to tear it. The outermost meningeal layer around his brain and spinal cord, resulting in a brain injury. Looking back on the terrible experience, Clooney recalled contemplating suicide because he simply couldn't deal with the pain. In that same year, he also lost two family members and a beloved dog.
The dura mater, or whatever, is the tough outermost membrane enveloping the brain and the spinal cord.
That's pretty dangerous.
That's pretty messed up, darn it.
Darn it. That is so messed up. And if he died, Lori would probably never see a movie again.
Darn it.
Probably.
Okay, that's going to bring us to the end. I guess you know that next episode we will have a Bigfoot story featuring a big celebrity.
Because I kind of celebrity.
I kind of talked about that earlier. I thought it was this episode, but it's going to be in the next one. So stay tuned for that, and we'll catch you on episode 94, which is actually 102.
Whatever. Bye.